Why are there so many podcasts from Jordan, and why we can't blame the Jews? Some think it's Jesuits, some the Illuminati, but only Rick knows the truth. So we've been told, and so we believe it, that Klaus Schwab is a big fan. That's why you'll find him on Fakeologist Audio, Rick the Conspiracy Man. La da da da, la da 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 da.
Hi folks, this is Alan, what's his name? You're listening to Rick talking to himself on the 28th of May, 2023. I'll make way for Rick, and I'll go and feed Hamish, Hamish, and Hamish, my three cats. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Alan. I've just been listening to Ab kindly played what I talked on last night, and I've got to say, is there anyone that can talk as much as me? I'm saying not many, not many. Chatted away to myself for about an hour and a half, and then Ab came on and we spent another hour and a half talking. So it was about 2.5 hours of show. Full of info. And I just have to reiterate, we're talking about the Great Fire of Sydney. The winner is Sydney. That happened on Thursday. And so basically what they are definitely doing is using these magic numbers on real events. So things are really happening, but they're using magic numbers on them. Why is this so? Is it to confuse the truthers? And I'll use the word truthers to cover for all of us conspiracy theorists. My registration number is 2733 2733, just to let you know, or as a registered conspiracy theorist. They're definitely using magic numbers, and they used the 7 code all over this story. I went and checked it out, and sure enough, two buildings have gone down in the heart of Sydney. Arson job, 100%. More of a financial thing here, for sure. But they use the magic numbers. So don't think everything's fake just because they put a 33 in front of an eyewitness, which they did in this particular case. The eyewitness that was there, was lived in the area for 33 years, said, I heard explosions and the building collapsed. It sounded awfully like another event that we may well know. We may well remember. It happened, was it 22 years ago in September? Look into that one. It's, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but there was apparently two buildings in Manhattan collapsed into their own footprint. And 7 other buildings also went down at the same time, around that same day. Look into the movie done by Simon Shack, September Clues. Do recommend that one, except for the missile bit, which he has apologized for since, apparently. I'll just read the back of a couple of books that I've picked up on. Just to read the first one is the Basic Principles of Geocosmic Studies for Financial Market Timing. Now, here at last, a beginning primer on astrology written especially for those interested in financial market timing. Geocosmic signatures, as described in this book, may be the most precise indicators available in the area of market timing. Now, that's fairly a big, bold claim there. However, learning the nature of geocosmic signatures, particularly as they pertain to financial market timing, has never been an easy process. And in italics, until now. If you're interested in geocosmics purely for the purposes of market timing, then this is the book that will show you the very easiest way to get started. It bypasses the need for individual horoscopes, in brackets, so necessary to the field of general astrology, a close bracket, and takes you directly into the relevant essentials of market timing, aspects, ingresses, and stations. Written in a simple, easy-to-understand style, this book will walk you clearly through each step of determining a, in italics, critical reversal date. It will show you how to use an ephemeris, that's E-P-H-E-M-R-I-S, an aspectarian, which is A-S-P-E-C-T-A-R-I-N, and how to calculate aspects, spot ingresses and stations, and how to identify a cluster in italics. Quotation marks. The section on the correspondence of planetary cycles to cycles in human activity may be of special interest to students of both astrology and cycles. Through this book, it's written primarily for students of financial markets who wish a simple guide for using geocosmic principles. It will also be of value to anyone wishing a very basic look, a book at starting the study of astrology itself. Now, the book is totally interesting, very easily read. So maybe it is marketed to the semi-imbecile, the crypto-imbecile that's suddenly realized that, hang on a minute, the markets are run by the stars, and which they are. There's no doubt about it. Who was that beeping noise? Is that you, Mr. Fakeologist?
That is me, sir. Good morning.
Fantastic. Yeah, good timing. I just popped in. And I just had a listen to last night's show. Thank you for posting it to make sure.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I forgot to put it on.
If I didn't remind you, Margaret would have.
Yes, Margaret that would've. Is true.
Good old
Let me
Margaret.
Just try and get... Let's see if Craig...
Now recording.
Oh,
okay, I just wanted to bring the CraigBot in. It's supposed to come in automatically, but it doesn't do that. There's something wrong with it.
Yeah, you paid $6 a week or a month? $6 a month or a week?
A month, yeah. And it doesn't do it. Really, I don't know. Something I'm doing wrong maybe, but I'm going to have to cancel it and do it manually. It's just a little fun feature.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good backup app in case... things go pear-shaped.
Pear-shaped. Yeah. So how's everything?
Fantastic. I've been to the cafe, Moon Harvest Cafe. Had a beautiful, with my youngest son, and had a wonderful sticky, dirty oat chai in a metal cup that you tip into a strainer and put it into your cup. And... extremely
is Moon
healthy,
Harvest still there?
Yes, he's fantastic. He's and he's in great form, fantastic form. He's
and the cafe's
baristering,
going well.
Well, it's getting there. There's a lot of renovations getting done, and because the previous owner had done the wrong thing by many, many businesses to the tune of $850,000.
What? How?
Been told.
The cafe. How could it ring up such numbers? How?
$400,000 the tax. He just didn't pay anybody, apparently. It's all the only thing. But it's annoying because I really got on well with him. And again, I've lost, 2.5 to 3 days of work because of his. But anyway, we will soldier on. We will soldier on. We'll get there. Yeah. But he's still there. And a few of the other staff are back again. And they're all getting paid every week like they should have been in the first place. So it's at the end of the day, it's good, but there's a bad vibe about the place because of how many people, suppliers, say you were supplying it with food. What he was doing was getting it up to $40,000 or so. And they would just say, well, I give up. I'm not supplying anymore. And then he just find another one. And he was doing it that way. But, he obviously knew what he was doing. That's for sure. Very annoying though, because I got on really well with him, and he was a very nice, likable character.
Well, that's how he got credit. He's a bit
absolutely.
Of a scoundrel.
Absolutely. And basically, he was like a smaller version of what we're dealing with the the real world out there, the not so much politicians, but the business people up there, they understand that the useless eaters, sad to say, useless eaters, are gullible.
And they take advantage of the trusting nature of humans. Humans are...
Yeah, well, that's exactly...
They want to believe in the best...
You just said it.
Yeah.
You just said it, and that's all they're doing up above. You know, three or four different levels above us, people are just going, well, these... Yeah, and they think of us as the sheep that are to be fleeced at the end of their...
Just take advantage of good-natured people, and most people are good-natured.
Yeah.
They lend the shirt off their back for you.
Down at the normal end of society, the good people that work hard and provide and pay their bills, we're vulnerable to the shepherd that takes advantage of us, and that's what he did. In his mind, he was doing the right thing because he kept saying to me, "Oh no, well, everyone will be sorted out by this. There's some kind of government
program
that actually will pay back victims of bad business, but they won't pay back your superannuation that you've lost. They will pay your lost entitlements, apparently." So he thought he was doing the right thing in his head. But to the real, you know, and I'm talking about my son's friends that are still working there, students, you know, young students that all lost, you know, a few of them, $2,000 or $3,000.
That's a lot for a student.
Well, can you imagine if you earn that by $12 an hour? Because that's how much they were getting paid. That's a lot of, that's a month of work, possibly one day or 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Either way, anyway, the place is still going and he's there and he's totally still, you know, it's wonderful to see him each time because he's listening to
Moon Harvest,
and
you
psychologists.
Mean. Moon Harvest is still there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always entertaining to see him. And we go out of it. So I took my 18-year-old, we went there yesterday and I took my 16-year-old today. So we went in there to keep the business supported to the new owners and hopefully it will stay as a viable thing. But Ab, I'm telling you now, it's all bad news for business owners because it's 30%, I guess again, said it last night, 30% power increase next month. We've already had it doubled. It's going up by 30% again. So your refrigerators, your ovens, your gas, you know, if you use gas, it's all going up. So things are going to be, this is almost the COVID of, it's like an energy COVID. They're coming after the small businesses with the energy COVID. So anyway, just change the subject, but
that has a lot to do with the coal plants being shut down. Because they were very cheap power.
They just shut two more in New South Wales last week. Bragged about it, you know, that we had to do it. And they made this excuse, oh, that, you know, they were energy, you know, there was a lot of infrastructure that needed repairing. It's like they're gone now. And all of a sudden
then fix it.
Exactly. And yet we are supplying China and India with a dollar a ton for gas or whatever that, you know, whatever the weight is. It's incredibly cheap per metric ton.
Really, it's just a shifting of that resource because they need it more. And it's just easier to shut it down in Australia, starve all these people out because they don't want them here anyway.
Locals.
Yeah, you don't want them around anyway, as we talked yesterday. So,
And send that energy
over to China and India because they need it for their extremely cheap labor. Yeah.
Yeah. And I spoke to my... the guy I stay with in Sydney, he's a lovely guy, but he's a totally conned, you know, full vaccination zombie at best. And he said, "Oh, but he goes, Rick, he goes, it's going to be expensive now, but it's, you know, because of the wind farms and the solar, it's going to get really cheap in the near future." And I said, "Please, you know, you're not speaking to some imbecile here." I said, "This is not going to happen. They've told you that. so that you're happy to pay these increases. There's no way the bills are going to go back down at all. They're going to go up and up and up and up. So, you know, what do you do? It's very frustrating, though, that when you hear people that are they've listened to the ABC or CBC or ABC or and they've swallowed the bullshit that wind farms and solar panels are our saving grace. But that's not ever going to be the case. Alan Watt, for many, many years, talked about the people that owned the properties that the solar farms are on. They're all peerage. That's P-E-E-R, you know, P-E-E-R-A-G, yeah. You know, the peerage, the wealthy.
The lords.
The lords, they owned all these farms all through north, east, west, and south of England. But they put these giant monstrosities up. I'm talking about 20 years ago now, not recently. This is when it first started. And he was reading from, I guess, he had a couple of sources that he was getting stuff from that were really, really good information. They were saying that, well, you know, in actual fact, they're losing money and these things are breaking down and some of them standing there not spinning at all, especially the wind farms. I've seen more wind farms with turbines not spinning than I've seen them spinning, especially driving to Canberra back in the day, that are sitting there not spinning.
Yeah, well, the motors need maintenance. And
you're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
We're back.
And we're back. We listened to Rick and Ab shooting the breeze on the 28th of May, 2023. We've got three more days, and we're into June, the halfway mark of the year already.
That's incredible. Where's it go? It just zips by, doesn't it, Rick?
Where does it go? It's getting faster. It's getting faster. I have to say that. It just seems
to get older, it gets faster. Because
I keep talking to younger people, and they go, "Oh, geez, the year's gone fast." And I thought, look, back in my day when I was 16, or 17, or 18, or 19, whatever, I never ever said how fast the year had gone. To me, it dragged like a weight on my back. But now even young people are saying to me that's getting faster. I have to tell you a funny story though. I was just tidying my house this afternoon, and I found a little handwritten note in my sunroom, and it said to Richard. And I thought, it's to Richard, you know, like, who would call me Richard apart from the government? It said, "Thank you very much for letting me stay. What a cool, with about five O's, cool house you got. Thank you very much from, a little name at the end of it." And I was thinking, who would have stayed at my house that I didn't know about? And then I suddenly remembered my 18-year-old stayed here. He's now looking after my house while I go away. And he's obviously had his girlfriend over. Didn't mention anything about it to me, of course.
Oh, wow.
She left a beautiful little note saying, cool, with five O's, which means it's pretty cool. Thank you very much for letting me stay. Really cool house, you know, with five O's. Thank you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, for the first couple of minutes, I was going, who is staying here when I'm not here? And then I suddenly realized I have an 18-year-old, and he's obviously now an adult, and has a girlfriend that I did know about, but I didn't realize she was staying here when I wasn't here. But good on them, you know. We're keeping the country flying.
Maybe he should have got your permission. Maybe.
Look, to be honest, I'm just glad he's not dating a computer. And so the writer was beautiful handwriting. And to someone that would actually leave a note to say thank you and how cool my house is, which it is, It is. It's a very unusual house. It's got lots of interesting things inside it, and particularly books. But it's, I have to say and brag that it's a very unusual, that the things in my house aren't what you call normal. It's, and if someone appreciates that, I'm happy.
Oh, that's very kind of her. What a, seems like a quality person.
Yeah. And she has a job. And she has a job, which he, and he doesn't.
An earner. Yet. An earner.
He doesn't. And she's an earner, yeah. So it's fantastic. So I was happy, but it was so funny because I was literally, I picked this card up and go, thank you for letting me stay. And I was like, I've never let anyone stay. And then I suddenly remembered. But it's good now because I don't like leaving my house empty, and it's good that he's keen to look after my house when I'm gone, and feed my cats and whatever, and fish, whatever that I've got. So yeah, it's frightening though. It's frightening, Ab, that children growing up. I don't like this in some ways. I prefer them to be under my control and to be subservient and not growing up. I like to be the boss, but it's not the case, sadly. I can be kind of a boss.
Yeah, you have pretty independent children, which is great. Good for you.
I do, and I have to get more. My daughter dropped. She came to drop over a couple of charges because one of the sons had taken every charger in the entire house with him when he left. To replace for my youngest son, who needs to charge up his phone because he's in the middle of the dark days of education. What do they call it in Canada when you're about to go into the last 2 years of your, well, you're in your last 2 years of high school and then you go to university after that. Is it called? It's quite stressful because he has to do lots of study and you need chargers, you need your computers and stuff like that. Well, my daughter drove over and dropped me a book, which Napoleon Wilson will absolutely love because it's about a, iconic Manchester character called Martin Hannett with a question mark. Oh, no, sorry. Called Who Killed Martin Hannett? The Story of Factory Records Musical Magician. And it looks absolutely, and my daughter knew that I'd like this. And this is what I love about children, that the fact that you can, A, they can make cups of tea, but B, they know what kind of books I'd like. And she found it in a secondhand shop and dropped it off for me. And I'm going to absolutely enjoy every bit of that. I'll be reading it on the train if I get the train down. So our children are fantastic. I'm very pro children at the moment because they're all great kids. And if we hadn't done those hard yards, well, you've done the same. If we hadn't done that sacrifice of 18 years of your life, or so far 20 in my case. So
I don't look at it as a sacrifice, though.
No, but it's the reward of the that you've created. What would you call it? Decent good people citizens. to replace you, to replace you when you go or stop doing. Yeah, it just justifies everything that you know. Not that I ever regretted anything, but I'm really pleased that they're all really good kids. And I took my daughter to the beach with her. The family dog the other day. And she is just such a nice person. People come up to her that remember her, that knew her when she moved away. And they're all full over themselves to run up to her. You know, she's a fantastic person. She's kind, considerate. Yeah. And it makes me think, oh, well, I did the right thing. I've done the right thing.
You did a good job. Well done.
Yeah. Well, that's all we can do. It's all we can do is replace ourselves and have a bit of legacy that will keep going. And hopefully they'll remember all the good bits from their junior days and carry on humanity into the future.
To the as dark as future. You linked an audio with Shannon Rowe, and she talked a little bit about transhuman. And I interviewed
very,
her.
Very good. Yeah. I'm embarrassed. Look, Ab, I am embarrassed that I hadn't seen that actual or listened to that show because William Ramsey's latest show was interviewing her about her book, The Shots Fired, about the vaccine and the transhuman agenda. And I enjoyed every bit of it. I thought, fantastic. And I suggest you should interview her. and blow me down probably a year ago, you already did. So
at the end of the interview, she revealed, oh, I know someone from 9/11 that died. And we said, well, what?
Show him the name.
Of course, I know. It ruined everything.
No. When you said she knew, I thought she was a fan of the Vixen Report, not a cult member.
No, no, she's a 9/11 cultist.
Oh, no.
She believes the whole thing. It kind of flushes down the whole story, doesn't it, really? And she's big on 4G and 5G taking control, and she lives in the woods now to save her life. And I'm sorry, I'm not a 5G, 4G conspiracy person whatsoever.
I know what it's going to be used for. It's a tracking, as part of the smart grid. So it's an essential thing, and it's an intrusive thing. But and I know for a fact it's not good for you if you want to. When I did the induction way before digital technology, I'm just talking about your analog towers. You had to go into safety inductions and wear anti-heat proof suits because they said these things are really dangerous. That's what we were told that in our course that we had to do. And these new ones, as far as I'm concerned, I just look at those grey, kind of pale greyish white towers, and I just think they look like naval military tech. It does not look like it's there for you for a good thing. But again, forget about the health problems with it. It's your privacy problems that you're going to get from these things, because these things are tracking you from wherever you go. Everywhere you go, you're getting monitored. And why don't they use the excuse? Why have they used this? You know, baffled everyone by saying it's to do with faster internet speeds, when we know for a fact that's complete bullshit. You know, that these things are here for another reason. And it's to do with the smart grid and technocracy, privacy issues, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a bad thing. I don't care about, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, they're bad for you, your health. If you live next to one, I would say that you should look after yourself. But that's just me. I'm a conspiracy theorist. So has Ab gone off to do something? Obviously he has. I can keep talking. Yeah, in my mind, the towers are bad for the general public. It's basically naval radar installations being put in residential areas.
I just don't buy it. I just don't think they're harmful. We've had radio waves. We've had TV waves. The only thing different is the TV waves and radio waves are just being reassigned to internet.
If you just go with your basic microwave in your house that you have, if you have any metal particles and what you put into that microwave and press high power, you're going to see sparks going off left, right, and center.
Oh, yeah.
If we've been filled up, and I'm telling you now, they are microwave towers. They're not. It's 1 millimeter is microwave. That's why I call it microwave millimeter. Okay. It doesn't get any smaller. If in your water supply you're getting fed, or in your food, aluminum and medical particles, and you're living near a microwave tower, you're in a microwave, then you're going to heat up, and there's going to be health aspects that are going to be negative to your health. That's my logic. It's going gut instinct here. But as far as setting on fire and killing everything, and there are birds living near them at the moment, but what if you turn the volume up, and which you can do on your microwave? You can turn it to high or low, two different settings. But do not put aluminium foil in a microwave. Just watch what happens when you put it onto any heat thing. It starts sparking and flaming.
If you have aluminum in you got bigger problems just getting it out. So
we have We have, thanks to the vaccines and the water.
Oh, I agree, and that gives you. You're gonna die. You're gonna die quickly just trying to get that poison out before it resonates with the microwave. So, I think you have worse problems to deal with. But I'm not afraid of it.
If I was afraid of it, I'd be roaming around with a Faraday cage over the top of my head and panicking because it's everywhere when you go into the inner city.
It's the same with the smart meters. I never understood the panic on that. And perfectly reasonable people that I like just have gone ape, you know what, over smart meters. And
there's two that I'll cite here. Eden in New South Wales and Paradise in California both burned to a crisp by bushfires. But when you flicked around and went into the local sites in those areas, the fire brigade was saying most of these things were coming from they were telling their staff to go into where the smart meter was because that's where the fires were emanating from.
I don't buy any of that.
I do. Because
you have a smart meter on your house?
No. I've got a dumb meter from 1958. And I asked if I want to. No one's told me to get one, but I asked the local electrician. He was told me it would be costing me $2,000. If I wanted to change it and bring it around to the front of the house and turn it into a smart meter, that would be the cost to me.
Why would you?
And I thought,
okay. Yeah, they're probably expensive.
What I did is I paid an electrician who had a fantastic name. What did he call himself? Faulty Sparky. Powers instead of Faulty. No, Faulty
oh, that's
Powers.
Funny.
I picked up on that. As soon as I seen his name, I went, bang, I'm using you. And he came round and I said, I just want the latest, what do you call it,
thermostat?
The safety stuff. If you press the wrong button, it cuts off. You know, the cutoff switches. And so I installed cutoff switches into my 1958 grid box that I've got. So that if I do
install one of my kids...
Everywhere. If you've got, say you get a water on top of electricity, it will immediately cut it off.
Yeah, I know. I can't think of the name right now. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, he installed them onto my ancient thing, and I've got no problem whatsoever. I'm not getting a smart meter. I do not trust them. That's just me. But Ab, I have to say this again. I am a conspiracy theorist of some repute of 40 odd years, so that you can't change an old conspiracy theorist. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, or you can't non-convince a conspiracy theorist that there's something bad in something. It's just healthy cynicism, I think, that I've got. I'm the same, Ab. I do not lose sleep at night worrying about the smart. So I've got a.
To me, it's just a fear of new technology. That's all. That's all it is to me.
Yeah,
it's a natural fear. People don't like new stuff. They don't like change. You know, I'm trying to give away crypto to people I know, and they're afraid of it. They said, "Oh, I don't want it on my phone." I said, "I'm trying to give you money. No, don't want it on my phone." And that's more often than not when someone says, "Okay," I'm always shocked. Oh, okay. You're not afraid of it, huh?
Well, Lost Spider Fella, so I do believe. I haven't listened to it, but he apparently took the Bitcoin.
Yes, he did.
He took the gold, yeah. What he's a real wonderful contributor to
LSP. Great guy. He's one of those super friendly people that you wonder, how did you get this way? How do you maintain being super friendly your whole life?
And
that's really amazing.
And happy. And he's always happy, Ed. Happy.
I know.
And that's,
isn't that crazy?
You don't get on conspiracy sites. On conspiracy sites, there's one thing that's sadly lacking is humor and happiness.
Yeah, you're right. And you're right.
Yeah. That's why I see the funny side of Klaus Schwab. I don't see the scary side. I see him as a figure to be mocked.
I'm not afraid of him either. I think he's a techno wonk gone crazy trying to play the role of some dark lord dressing up in that stupid getup.
Napoleon Wilson would 100%. He is literally a Star Wars Sith Lord.
Yeah.
Or a Doctor Who character from the 60s, Davos.
And he's probably been ignored his whole life. And now all of a sudden he's got this role to sell his techno BS. And people are listening to him and they're talking about him. Again, don't give the guy energy. Ignore him.
Don't fear the Reaper. That's who sang that song? That was the great band from the 70s, Blue Oyster Cult.
Seventies.
Blue Oyster Cult. Don't fear the Reaper.
Yes, I know.
So there's a bit of good advice, even though apparently they were Satanists. That's what I heard. And
who is it?
That is some great.
Who isn't in the music business? Yeah, I used to listen to all that music back in the day. And if we had Fredboat working, would play it right now. Good song.
Mm-hmm.
We're sorry, we can't play music because we don't have the technology right now. If we had someone sitting on a board on a computer, we could just cue it up real quick. We need a board op.
Great
show.
We do, we do. And shout out to board operators out there.
Hi, this is John French.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Cherry.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
I'll have to look into that.
Just kick the Fredboat or whatever it was doing.
That's VeloBox.
Kick the VeloBox and it'll start working again. You're listening to Rick and Ab chatting away on the 28th of May, 2023. And we're just
talking
about...
Shout out to Margaret Money.
Margaret Money? Who's Margaret Money?
She's the lady that said I screwed up with the audio file last week. So she listens.
Oh, Margaret
Money,
yeah.
She needs the show. She lives down the lake from me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm chatting to a few... Plenty of people who are definitely listening. There's no doubt about that.
Rick at fakeologist.com if you want to email.
Well, it's keep it. I just think keep it light. Don't get nasty and don't do the there's a number of Jan Irv and stuff. It just had this angry vibe and particularly the grumpiest of the lot that shouts and screams at everybody. That I was imitating a few weeks ago, but I can't do his voice because you have to shout. And my neighbours, Mark Passio. Yeah, Mark Passio! Mark Passio!
I don't listen to him.
You listen to him? Oh, I have done, he does some good stuff. There's no doubt about that. And I like his... some of the stuff. I'm not a big, I don't listen to them every week, but if I was to do, and I'm telling you now, I can do you couldn't tell the difference between him and me, but I'm not ever going to do that because I have to shout at a volume that he's doing. And I've got neighbors that I have some respect for that I don't want thinking I'm completely mentally ill because that's the way that you would hit when you hear that voice. Even Jan Irvin, when he used to, start screaming at people and abusing everyone. Now, I still question why did he just completely disappear? He's on Facebook and he's commenting on a regular basis, but he's not doing podcasts anymore. But when he does do them, they are absolutely a gold class. Gold class. But he's got a couple of guys, there's a Steve that he's got on there lately who's fantastic. I'd like to hear more of him, but for some reason Jan Irvin's not doing his Unspun or
ask him. That's how I listened to Joe Atwell. I used to be on with him.
And I actually really enjoy I really do enjoy Joe Atwell and Tim Kelly's stuff. I haven't listened to anything for the last couple of weeks, but
yeah,
I was
but thankfully they're because I just before you came on, I was listening, and they just are believing the news all the time, deconstructing the fake stories, and they just this last one, they're starting to auto hoax now, which they are coming around eventually, but which is good, but not totally.
Well,
they're getting closer.
Just going back to what I was, the fire story I was talking about last night, everyone I actually spoke to, because I got into people's faces about this because I had 24 hours in Sydney after that fire, and I spoke to lots of different people, and not one person disagreed with what I said. They all said that they didn't believe the news reports. They all agreed that, you know, and they were sitting there shaking their heads going, that can't be, what they said on the news can't be true, because there's no way a fire with the seasoned timber, 110 years old, would spread that fast in a fire. They knew. So I do think there has been a great awakening, but you would never know it on mainstream media because they are shutting down the media, you know, the alternative media as fast as they can do it. And I listened to about 20 minutes of IPS show today for the first time in a long time.
And he's good show.
Yeah, he's look, probably his 20. It was the 25th of the 5th. So
okay, because his last show isn't up yet. Yeah.
Okay.
The one he did yesterday. Okay.
Okay. Well. Anyway, he was knocking it out of the park about what he was talking about that I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
it's good
stuff.
Must listen.
For some reason, like,
must listen. He's going to be on Monday. I'm going to bring him on Monday on my show.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
Have a recap.
Get him to recap what he considers the most important psyops of the last month, because that would be good.
Yeah.
And keep it at this, the last month, because as he said, there's a fake demic going on right now. The fake demic.
Yeah.
And I like that term, fake demic.
He calls pandemic. It hoax
19. Fake. Mm, yeah. Yeah, so I listened while I could.
Very good stuff.
And so, yeah, again, I never have a bad thing to say about that show. It's always, you're getting the micro fake stuff that most other conspiracy shows aren't picking up on by Infinite Plane Society. Moon Harvest he's a very big fan of Tim for sure, and he's the one that he keeps sending me links to Tim's shows, but unfortunately, again, every link he sends me is audio. Sorry, it's visual. So in my phone that I have at the moment, I can't just turn off the screen and listen to it. It gets sent to me as a
I have got an Android phone. Okay, put Podcast Addict on. Okay, well,
I've got it.
There should be no issue
RSS feed.
Yeah, go to his Odyssey channel and grab the RSS feed on his Odyssey channel. And Podcast Addict can definitely play in the background or video, for sure.
Well, Moon Harvest, he has an iPhone, and he said he just presses the off button on the screen and it still plays from it. For me, it cuts off. But I have got a really terrible phone, a cheap, crappy Android.
No, it shouldn't matter. He has a million feeds, so make sure you're getting his Odyssey feed. If you can find it.
Okay.
Well, actually, I link to it all the time, so just grab his Odyssey feed.
Well, Moon Harvest is a big, 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 big fan of that show, and so he keeps sending me, because he does disappear off certain areas and comes back.
Yeah, he's always on Odyssey.
Now, we're now into, just about to go into June from Thursday this week, and this is the last credible time that his Jurassic Liars guy has that Trump's about to get shot in the head.
6/11, he's been plugging, all that stuff.
Yeah. So if it doesn't happen We've got we can go all the way to, you're right there, 6-11. So we can go
predictions
to
predictions are a dangerous business. Don't bother with them.
Oh, look, don't bother with them. It's extremely risky for your own credibility. But this time last year, Jurassic Liars said, it must be next year then. So we've got this
and
year
8-11 as well. They got 8-11 in there too.
Okay. We've got till November then. Okay, we've got till November to fiddle around with the sixes and eights.
And they used they said something happened in Turkey instead of Seattle, and they were using that. So, oh, we yes. got it wrong. We got it wrong. That was super
yeah,
weak.
That was the Seattle has some kind of tower that caught fire the same day.
Yeah, the Space Needle, which is a crappy space needle. Yeah. They're saying there's another needle or something in Turkey. So I don't know. I stay away from these predictions. Just give me a sec, Rick.
Yeah, all good. All good. You're listening to Eric at Abbaato on the 28th of May, 2023. Be told 100%. Go and feed your prana. If you have prana, make sure they are fed and looked after. If you have people that are knocking on your door, get a trap door and a button. Very simple, two things. Press the button, they fall through the trap door, and you'll feed your prana. You're looking after nature. Be told 100%, I don't want to say anymore, and you'll be back with Ark and Avato. Thanks, Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. One of the greatest contributors to a Rick and Rollo show and the Fakeologist audio chats. Be told, tell the truth, doesn't make any stories up. Yes, he has a piranha pit, but why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? If you can afford one, why wouldn't you? We'll just wait for Ab to come back. I'm going to try and mute. I'm trying to turn my phone swipe up, but it's not doing it because I'm using a very stupid phone. A stupid phone as opposed to a smartphone.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Oh, there you go.
I don't go for long unless there's a problem. Yeah, these phones are problematic, to say the least. I have a scanner.
Oh, my God.
Smartphone, and it keeps freezing all the time because it's the software.
Yeah, some of mine.
Bad software.
And honestly.
Something freezes it.
My stupid phone is—it's neither smart or dumb. It's stupid. It does it all the time. It's absolutely—it's frustrating because I try to.
Yeah.
I'm a technophobe though, Ab. I'm a technophobe, and you're not. You are not a technophobe. Be told.
No, I love it.
Be told. You love technology.
I've always.
And, rightly so. Yeah. I agree. It's a good thing. And how else could you in Canada and me in the mid-north coast of Australia chat away at the same time, when I say one, you can say two almost immediately afterwards, yet we're in two different countries. And you're up there. I'm down here and you're up there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think
according
about.
To the,
and we're talking in real time. I don't see how that can work. If you ask me to invest, how can it work? It just makes no sense how we can talk in real time.
I'll tell you something that always kind of crosses my mind to make a really funny parody movie, and I'm sure someone's probably already done it because I'm not that up there with everything. But remember the guy that wrote what's his name? Mark Twain.
Yeah.
The author. He wrote a book called what was his name? It was a Yankee in a Confederate Yankee in King Arthur's court. It was one of his famous novels or books he wrote back in, many, many, many years ago. Samuel Pepys that was his real name. Mark Twain was a pseudonym.
Yeah.
You heard it. I'm telling you now. I am Samuel Clement. Samuel Clement. And you know how I know that, Ab? Because my grandmother on my mother's side was doing a crossword or something, and she wrote that down on a piece of paper and a note. And I remember being looked after by her or my grandfather or whatever, and I saw it, Samuel Clement is Mark Twain. You know, and always why I said Samuel Pepys is to show how stupid I can be sometimes. But yeah, so Samuel Clement, is the original author of who did Mark Twain, who did an American Yankee in King Arthur's, a Confederate Yankee in King Arthur's court. And it was about basically a Yankee Confederate getting transported back into time, you know, in like a time loop.
And time travel.
His adventures back in those days. Now, if, for instance, I was captured in a time warp and sent into the future or the past, and they said, we need you to tell us how to beat our enemies, you know, because you're from the future. You can show us how to do all these amazing things. I would be absolutely fucking hopeless at the best. You know, I'd say, oh, we've got electric lights now and we can press a button and our lights turn on. We've got smartphones and we can send messages across, you know, to other people and send photos. Now, I have no idea of that technology that exists right now, that even creating making a car engine. I couldn't do it, Ab, because I am a Luddite in many, many, many ways. I'm a person that appreciates technology, but I don't know how to
process. If you learn the process, you'd be able to do it. You just have to learn.
So if the aliens abducted me and sent me to the past, you know, and so we're going to use you. You're a man of the future. You'll be able to create all these amazing things and show us how we can create a laser or crap. I couldn't do any of it. I can start a car and I can tell you if the oil needs changing, but I'm not that smart to be able to, but I do know people and I've got a very good friend. He can do any of that stuff. He can weld, fix cars. He can make car parts. I know guys that are engineers that can make the part that you need for your vehicle with a lathe. I can't do any of that. I do appreciate technology, but I don't understand it. I don't know how it does what it does, particularly computer technology. That's at a level beyond me. But do you realize that the guy that came up with computers was channeling his information and was quite I do believe a Satanist in some respects, but he was quite open about it. The guy that came up with the actual computer, he said it came, he channeled it, the information from the other realms.
I did not know. That sounds...
Oh, no, this is apparently one of those interesting facts that, you know, that are out there. I do know. I'm great with interesting facts, apparently. But, yeah, no, computer technology and the internet definitely is a different level. And we're amazing. Talking about, you know... Well, it's just incredible. I mean, how do you take a photo of something, zoom up on it, edit it with your phone, and then send it to you in Canada while I'm sitting in Australia in real time?
Bizarre. That's bizarre.
Bizarre. It's bizarre. Exactly.
It's magic, really. It's magic. That's how you would look at it.
That's what was actually used as a... by who was it that said that? Oh no, it was Arthur C. Clarke who said that the technology that you don't understand is may as well be magic to the, you know, say you turned up in a tribe of Indians. Oh, my cat's just caught a mouse and he's a hoppy mouse and he's about to torture it to death.
I saw yesterday a crow. You know how big crows are. And
yes, he had a mouse.
And he was flying around with it. And he was being chased by starlings, about 10 smaller birds.
Isn't it amazing?
Why were they chasing him? He wasn't going to give the mouse up. And what They couldn't deal with him. Why were they after him?
No, they keep them out of their area. I see it all the time. Big birds getting chased out by smaller birds because they've either got nests in the area. So you get three or four smaller birds gang up.
But he had a mouse. He was busy. He was dragging this mouse around.
I kid you not. Yeah. This black killer cat just swallowed the entire mouse whole, and it's now licking its lip.
That was fairly good.
Well, I'm telling you now, this cat earns its keep. It's fed chicken and organic steak for a good reason, because there's no thing.
You don't give it dry cat food, that whatever that's made.
He eats it, but he looks at me like, you know, hang on a minute, Dad. Is that the best you can do? I'm killing all these rats, eating mice whole, killing bats, which he's done. And, you know, I'll feed him. I'll look after him. He's a good cat.
I'll tell you.
He's a good cat. But
that's why I will not let a cat lick my face after it eats a mouse. People do that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
But it builds your immune system.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's no good for you.
Well, it could be a problem there for sure. So going back to what we're talking about, the technology.
Just give me one minute again. All right, moving fast.
No worries, Ab. You're talking to a man who can talk underwater and who has given life to at least one.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
You're listening to Rick and Ab, or Rick and Ab, or Ab and Rick, Rick and Ab, on the 28th of May, 2023. And you're waiting for Ab to come back because he's working hard. Good man, always working hard. Always working hard. So send him a donation. Send him a some crypto, some Bitcoin. Just give him one Bitcoin. That's all he asks. One. Not 50 or 500. One Bitcoin. That's all he asks. Ridiculous. A mere one Bitcoin. Or you can send it to me. Send it to Ab and we'll halve it so you can give me half a Bitcoin. Pathetic amount of money. So one Bitcoin. One Bitcoin. Then give me half of that and I won't need to go to work anymore. I won't need to go, but I can sit here and read these books, and I'll read the back of the most interesting one, Interpreting Lilith. Although Lilith, an astrological, and then I read this last night, anyway, I'll read it again. Although Lilith, an astrological point, has been known to astrology since the 1700s, it's only now that the Lilith has been put into the workable perspective useful in chart delineation. This comprehensive book begins with the Lilith's astronomical history and legends to a reference point for its influence in the chart. Delphine J then goes on to give complete delineations of Lilith through each sign, house, and aspect, all of which is based on her extensive research and experience. Numerous examples illustrate Lilith's meaning and influence on the chart. Also included is a chapter on the delineation of Lilith in returning charts by house position. About interpreting Lilith, astrologer Michael Munkacy writes, when Delphine first presented me with the work she was doing on Lilith, I was quite skeptical that such an effect could exist. I quickly became a convert, with a big exclamation mark. Since then, I have ride Lilith in many different ways, and I've found that it consistently works in the way it has been described that it should work. Now, I'm telling you now, this is a fact. Lilith is a thing. Michael Aquino's wife was named Lilith. It's in the Bible. Lilith, blah, blah, blah. guaranteed. The fact that I found these two books, The Basic Principles of Geocosmic Studies for Financial Planning Timing and Interpreting Lilith, there's a there. I'm going to have to go through and read the whole book, so it's going to take me some time. But I'll get back to you. A Be Told.
Lilith.
You're going to hear it first. Here. Lilith. Yeah, that's there's a there. I hate saying the word a there, but I'm going to say it. There's a there. This book has got interesting information in it. So anyway, so how's Todd going? So he did a show, and Frank's done a show, I do believe, recently.
Yeah, Todd. Yeah, those are my two regular guests besides you. And Todd is going gangbusters with the Epic, and I think it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a flash in the pan, personally. And they're getting a lot of momentum.
He doesn't sound the kind of guy that would be wasting his time with something that's
I think he's got a, and he said he's got a ton of money invested in this. So he really is going balls to the walls.
He's the same age as me, but he is a guy. Apart from the fact he's a sporting, like he was a, gridiron player that got badly injured back in his day, so he's obviously a sporty type. But you can hear in his voice, he means business. And there's a good saying there. He means business because he means business.
Does.
Yeah,
literally. So I think this is the real deal. I think this is a real game changer, and I use it. It's working. Yeah.
Excellent. Yep. Well, let's just hope my son becomes a Bitcoin, an epic billionaire in the near future to support his poor father, who's been paying for his hamburgers and gourmet coffees that he's been getting lately, guaranteed. And I made him the most beautiful meal tonight.
Nice.
I want him to be rich. I want him to be rich. He's a lot richer than me at the moment. He's got more money in the bank than I have.
Good.
But I have a house. That's a good thing.
And it doesn't matter. Digital currency, one way or the other, is going to be in your life, whether you like it or not. And people are going to be dragged,
no doubt about that,
and screaming into it. They're going to be dragged into it.
There's no doubt about digital coin being a thing. There's no doubt about that.
And the government's going to have their own coin, because guess what? The government is the biggest part of the economy. So they're going to have their own currency, whether you like it or not. If you get any government money, they're going to give it to you in the new digital form, and you're going to have to like it.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you don't want it. You're going to have to like it. And I just hope there's no strings attached to the money, like getting the clot shot, because that will be, if that's the case, then you're going to need another currency in which to transact. So even if you...
George Bernard Shaw would say to you right now, no, you're going to be part of the new future is going to be people that are, you have to be part of it, and if you're not part of it, they don't want you.
Not everyone's going to be part of everything, that's for sure. Doesn't matter what the situation is.
No, I've read every dystopian book from H.G. Wells to Aldous Huxley, and they all, there's one common thing and strand in their books. There are the wild people that don't live in the smart cities or the domed cities or whatever, that live outside that city. So that is in every book of the future coming, particularly by those guys. And I do trust them as being the future planners back in, 100 years ago. Especially H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw, who did Pygmalion, the My Fair Lady, Pygmalion, whatever, about finding a useless eater and trying to change her into become an exclusive person. Basically, that same movie was used with Eddie Murphy and about the rich. The rich guys that decide that they find a poor guy on the street and decide to make him really rich. What was it called? And it had the very good-looking. What was it called? It was a huge movie in the 80s with Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, and
Trading Places.
Trading Places, yeah. That's kind of a Pygmalion movie as well, and that again goes back to George Bernard Shaw, who wrote Pygmalion, about rich people betting on it. That you couldn't find a useless eater and turn them into one of us, and they do.
I tend to agree.
And it backfires on them.
I tend to agree that you cannot.
No. Well, in the movie, yes, they did. And what's her name was in it, taking a top off and very spectacular. Yes, it was. She does look a bit, Tony Curtis' daughter.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis takes a top off in Trading Places and very impressive looking chest that she had back in those days. She still, she just did that Everything Everywhere All at Once movie and literally plays herself looking the same, like an old, she's looking her age. She won an Oscar for it.
Yes.
But that's a really, yeah, I have watched, not all of it, but I've watched half of it. But once again, they're plugging this martial arts as a real credible thing. And, the protagonist or the heroine's boyfriend or whatever he is, he fights people using his, what do you call it? They call it we call it a bum bag over here. The thing you wear around your waist to put your money in. He uses that as martial arts weapon, fights off all these people, and total, absolute garbage to reiterate that this martial arts is a real dangerous thing. I'm telling you, it's been beaten up since Bruce Lee PSYOP, and I totally agree with Sean SMJ, his research saying that Bruce Lee and his father, they came from a acting family. And I'm telling you, the whole Bruce Lee story is a PSYOP. His death, a PSYOP.
Yeah, son's death,
Kung Fu. Yeah, 100%. And I worked on the director that worked, that was responsible for allegedly his death, a Greek Australian that directed Dark City. And after Bruce Lee's son died from this apparent, bullet, so almost the same stories that we're getting at the moment again with that film star that shot somebody and he died, one of those famous brothers of
the Baldwin guy.
The boy, yeah, Alex Baldwin,
in the movie Rust.
Rust.
He got
Rust,
off. That's yeah. all. That fake he story has, is yeah, he's out of it. So the story's over.
Yeah, it's kind of, but it's still reiterating the story that this director who someone didn't check the gun and Brandon Lee died from a bullet from this particular gun. After on Dark City, when they actually pioneered these new weapons, film guns that instead of firing a blank, it just fired a white light, like it was a kind of a laser set up on the front of the barrel, and they just edited in a gunshot because they were so paranoid about another actor getting killed. That happened for sure. I was there. I was on that film on Dark City. And whether the Brandon Lee story was completely and utterly fake, it certainly sounds like it, that Bruce, his father, died from some martial art curse for revealing martial arts secrets. I'm not a big fan of I just think of all martial arts was to normalize Chinese dragon tech, dragon imagery into modern society and introduce China as the new takeover by China, and making martial arts dojos a normal thing everywhere. There's a big psyop in the whole Bruce Lee story for sure. I do think Sean SMJ actually was the one that kind of verified it to me. We haven't seen any eyed nor hair of him in the last Oh, I don't know. When was the last time he was on Fakeologist? Yeah.
Well, he was on the Telegram for a while, but he's on someone else's Telegram now. Yeah, not recently, though.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff, and that's definitely interesting about the Bruce Lee. He died in 74. I think it was all these suspicious dates for sure. His father was an actor. He was an actor. He was also part of Hollywood. It just basically from 74 onwards, you've never seen anything like the martial, Kung Fu is becoming them. And then David Carradine had his TV show, Kung Fu, it was a great show. I really liked that, but it was just normalizing Chinese culture into Western culture. So it was a psyop for sure. All martial arts was a psyop. You don't see any Chinese martial arts, winning the UFC fights, and if you do, it's faked. I don't think the Chinese can compete with the Irish or the Greeks or the Russians when it comes to full contact martial arts. Yes, they're very clever in gymnastic, but when it comes to full contact fighting, from what I can see, Kung Fu is not part of it. It's interesting, and it's a fantastic athletic sport. But
I got an email a couple of weeks, or maybe last week ago, about the guy saying that there are no more young stars since the 1990s, and he says maybe it's to save money. Do you read a guy named Bob Lefsetz? He has a newsletter that many people listen to or read. Yeah. Actually, you would probably like it. I don't know. You would probably like it. It's called the Lefsetz Letter. It's an industry letter that goes out to entertainment people. I think you would like it. It's well known. I don't subscribe to it.
Look, Ab, I have been into movies since I would say 5 years, no, maybe 4 years old, when my mother and father took me as a four-year-old to the movies for the first time to watch the Gnome Mobile, a Disney movie, which was, here we go here, Fakeologist exclusive. Disney was plugging the Green Agenda in 1968 with the Gnome Mobile, and it was literally, if you look up and Google the Gnome Mobile, it was about, what do you call it? The Irish leprechauns or something like that, saving a forest. Saving a forest. There was all this green agenda pumped into this movie via Disney. And I remember going to the movie, I remember walking in as a little tiny child and sitting down and watching the screen, curtains opened up, and I was just mesmerized. Ever since then, I was into Hollywood. I knew more about Hollywood at that age than anything else. I loved movies. I loved music soundtracks. I'm just a total Hollywood fanatic. And then that all stopped when I woke up and realized, we were being fed disinformation and we were being programmed via Hollywood back, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. There's some fantastic information out there that's exposing how much the con has been pushed on us. Kubrick's movies and et cetera, et cetera. It's incredibly interesting, and that's why I like Jay Dyer's stuff. I haven't listened to him for a long time. I don't do that. His stuff at the moment. I'll go back and listen to it every now and then, but I just think Hollywood and TV is the biggest, and sporting TV shows.
Well, this guy says that no stars exist these days. Says maybe it's time to save cash, paying actors high amounts. Like no great band, all top minds are in big tech. That Bob Lefsetz says streaming has hurt, but it's been around only for about 10 years, and he says, Wrap your mind around this. In 1974, Charles Bronson, Paul Newman, Jack Lemmon, and Walter Matthau were still younger than Matthew McConaughey, 53, is today. Other hot items.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Other hot items at Cannes include 75-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger's Breakout, 59-year-old Nicolas Cage's Lost Lord of War sequel, and a movie starring 69-year-old John Travolta. So this, he's saying these guys are still around. Where are the young movie stars? They don't exist, he's saying.
They're 100% right. So look, send me the link to that.
Yeah, I don't have a link. I'll send you the email.
Yeah, actually, do that because I totally agree.
Email, let me just send it to you now, and you can read the rest of it if you want. I'll send it to you now, rick@fakeologist.com.
It sounds fascinating because this is your kind of stuff. It's so true. You've got these stars.
Check your email. Check your email now.
Okay, cool. Okay. It'll pop up. You've got stars like Robert De Niro and
yes, he said that. The guy's 79 for God's sakes.
79, just had a child recently, this year. Well, recently this month.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you get?
Yeah, you're right. 100% right. I'll see. Here, I'll just turn my phone on. Yes, I did.
Okay, well, why don't you read the rest of it?
They guided me with psyops. Psychological operations.
They guided me with psyops. They weaponized psychology.
Hey. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Totally agree.
It's a good concept. I'm just going to step out for a sec. Hold on.
No worries, man.
You're listening to Mark, and Alato on the 28th of the May, on the 2023, and you're listening to Fake Olive.
All right, so you don't need me to read any more of that, eh?
No. Oh, no, you'll read some.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's the same with music, though. You've got the same people that have been around for, you know, and Kissinger. I mean, there he is, still flitting about, carrying on, doing his stuff, although he didn't turn up to... 100 years old, but apparently he did not go to Bilderberg this year. And they've only just had Bilderberg this week or the week before. But I would say he didn't do it because he couldn't. He did it because too many people go, he's 100 and he's gone to Bilderberg. I mean, he's been going since 1950. He's been in our media since 1940-something or other. But... Bilderberg's been going since 1957.
Yeah.
That's 70-something years, and there's a guy that's been at every meeting. So I think they've just pulled back on him and said, look, you know, we're obviously, you know, people are going to start asking questions if you're 100 years old and you're still alive, but everyone else is dead. there's something suspicious. It does look very, very odd that...
There's no new talent anywhere. And look at the politicians they have in the U.S. They're all octogenarians.
Oh my God.
Why? Are there no young people with brains? I know they're pumping up DeSantis now.
Well, going back to the Offman report, when you listen to that young guy, actual show, but he's a young... A political type, and he's interested in political stuff, but he's not neither Democratic or Republican. He sounds so intelligent that you'd think, why isn't this guy in politics? But they don't want these people.
Which guy is that? Which show is that?
On the Offerman Report, he interviewed one of the a guy that's he's doing a political column, and he's only 21 years of age, but he sounded so mature, and he was just really on the money about what he was saying. But when you look at it now, you think, why isn't this guy? I'll flip through what I've been listening to, because you're right. What Ed's doing is he's got so many small shows and big shows all over the place. He's constantly republishing his old work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it, sometimes 15 a day onto different sites.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah. Right.
It's really difficult. But the ones I listened to recently, particularly the young guy, 21 year old guy that was kind of explaining the January the 6th incident. I think that was the subject matter. And I just thought this guy should be in politics. He's got a really smart mind. He's obviously intelligent, but why isn't he in the yet he's not left nor right. He's just an interested party that studies, was it geopolitics? I guess you call it geopolitics. What they're doing now and in the future. Yeah, you're right. And acting, there are no young actors. You've got Brad Pitt, who'd be getting close to 60, same age as. I know Keanu Reeves is my age within a week.
Yeah.
These are the guys that are the biggest stars at the moment, and they're pushing 60. There's no 15-year-old, coming uppers or whatever. They're all big, 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 big stars are in there, well over 50. Back in the day, John Wayne's.
Harrison Ford's almost 80.
And he just released the Indiana Jones Part 5. It's like incredible. And there's an 80-year-old. So there's a there. I mean, obviously, this is going to. Obviously, it's telling you that they're going to crash that medium, the medium of Hollywood and movies. It's out. It's going to die. And it's going to die when these guys die. And we're looking at, Keanu and Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise just did a flit bit, puff piece for King Charles's coronation.
Oh, yeah.
Where he, they filmed a segment of Tom Cruise flying in a plane, and then he jumps out of the plane and he says, that King Charles is perfect wingman, that straight out of the movie Top Gun. You're my wingman. You'll always move. So Hollywood has morphed into the coronation now. Where are we? We're in this kind of limbo of Hollywood and real events via media. With old stars, though. I mean, King Charles is, in his 70s. Tom Cruise is, who was apparently meant to have flown to space and done a movie in space on the ISS, which he didn't do because no one's capable of doing it. It's impossible, except for lightweight.
What was the movie? What was that movie? Is it released?
The Russians did apparently. So apparently the Russians have sent some doctor into space, and they filmed a movie on the International Space Station, some thriller that's coming out, and they beat Tom Cruise because he wanted to do it himself. And yeah, but I'm telling you, it's a total hoax for sure.
Reliving the fake space race.
Yeah. Which is why I'm saying that's why this new king, PSYOP that's coming up with, they'll blame Putin for a dirty bomb, the space station will crash into the space needle, whatever. It's coming for sure. And they're going to blame Putin for this PSYOP. And only, how would you say, the most gullible will believe it. But unfortunately, the most gullible, as far as I can see, are the ones that are roaming around right now. That I can see when I go grocery shopping with masks on, even though there is no reason to wear masks. Are they wearing them in Canada? Have you seen people? Because I'm seeing them here.
I see them in cars still to this day. A lot of, mostly Asians, but it's crazy. In their cars.
It's crazy.
I guess it's never going to end. I sort of said that for some people. It's never going to end.
No, you're right. And I have to reiterate, and what's her name? Shannon. She exposed, or no, was it William Ramsey said that blowing the myth of blowing smoke up your rear end was actually a medical procedure 200 years ago. They thought that blowing smoke up your rectum was actually going to cure you for things. Without blowing smoke up your rectum, I'm saying these stories left, right, and centre are all happening. The masks being a thing is still a thing. They can do whatever they want. They'll have a fake nuke. They'll have a fake tidal tsunami. Whatever they want to do, and the public are going to swallow every single aspect of it. Every single aspect of it is going to get swallowed. They're already doing it. As far as I can see now.
And you can listen to all our old shows from 3 years ago. Just go to fakeologist.com and look up the old podcasts. They're all there. They're all free.
You really did interview some of the best people that were involved in the counter fight back of COVID.
There's so many people that are still.
But you know, if you go back and just listen to who you interviewed on your not the audio chats, but just the Fakeologist Radio main site, from Amanda Vollmer to Shannon, what's her name, and
Rowan,
which I didn't know about, Shannon Rowan, I didn't know about that one, but and just the, you know, that guy from Alaska that was living up there, you know, harvesting mushrooms and things like that. I mean, these are crucial shows that people need to listen to. Now, you know, you can and re-listen to stuff. You need to, because we do forget. We get so much information forced into our ears. And I'm a classic example of that. I have too much information. Last night, I was listening to Opperman shows till I fell asleep, and I woke up a couple of times throughout the night and was still listening to Opperman shows. I get so much information. That's why I'm now, I'm not forgetting my own name, but I'm not far off that, because I've got too much info. Back in the day, a human being learned via their grandfather or their parents. They were given advice, and bit by bit, you know, you listen to, you know, someone, a wise man that would give you some advice. Now, when you've got this new technology now, the internet, and I'm a classic example that I've been sucking in too much information, and you've got a finite amount of RAM in your brain.
For sure.
And I would say I am a classic example of someone that's got too much information.
So information overload.
It's really. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That they knew that was coming. They knew that that was going to be a part of the future. And they knew that we're going to be baffled in the future, that we've got so many different versions of what could have happened in the, particularly the vaccine agenda. We've got, you know, nanoparticles. We've got people saying it was, you know, toxins, it was spike proteins, it was this, it was that. You've got thousands of different views. You know, you can't catch a virus. You can catch a virus. There's terrain theory. There's germ theory. You know, we're bombarded by different theories. So to filter all these different aspects out takes a genius, literally, you know, to be able to get through all the stuff.
I try and give the best stuff, but I'm just one filter. IPS is a filter. Cool. No Agenda is a filter. I prefer all those filters because otherwise I could fill my head with propaganda and I could probably sway towards that propaganda. Yeah. And everyone can. It's very, very, very convincing. There was a lady I watched live streaming yesterday on Instagram, and she was live streaming outside of libraries in my area, and they were having traveling drag shows. You know, this is the latest
thing.
So she set up a competing story album on the lawn outside the libraries and telling the parents, hey, come over here. Why are you dragging your children? The parents were streaming into the libraries to bring their children. So there's obviously a demand for it. They've obviously created this demand for this drag queen story hour, which is just men dressed up as women. It's bizarre. Yeah, so that's
wearing mini skirts with possibly no underwear on, sitting with school
like commando kids. With. Now, yeah, would they let half naked strippers into libraries? I don't think so.
No, but if you cross the barrier, and I've already exposed this in a very small town I live in, as a microcosm of the country, all of a sudden I noticed on the wall in the gym where my son and I just went and had a workout this afternoon.
Nice.
There's a poster there for, it's called Rainbows on the River group that's set up to, and it's got rainbow flags everywhere, and they're trying to introduce, and they're having a dinner, $65. They got pole dancers. That was on this list, pole dancers.
But are they men or women?
This. Look, we have got two possible, I would say one maybe tranny here, maybe, say under 20 credible homosexuals in the area that are, you know, that are quite open about it. The rest of the town is completely oblivious and cannot care about whatever. But they're making it out that it's the biggest thing that we need to have this show on, yeah. And yeah, it's just ridiculous. And so we can see the agenda's being rolled out. And what do? You either compete against it and try and say that, we don't want our kids being exposed to this, or you accept it and think it's a fantastic thing. What do you do?
Well, I'm watching a documentary that Adam recommended from a No Agenda show. It's called Affirmation Generation. It's on YouTube. I'll post a link to it later, but maybe on shorts.com. But Affirmation Generation. It shows all the young people that are detransitioning, and just it looks like they went through the war from the medical industry, ripping apart their bodies. It's so sad. It's so disgusting. Yeah. And they fell for it, but now they have huge regrets because it's just destroyed their bodies. You can't get it back. You can't undo most of the damage, and they're ruined for life. They just kill. They may as well just kill people for what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, but I think that was part of the agenda, and the suicides from some of these kids or whatever. And years ago, it read from this in Canada. There was a particular, it wasn't a morning after pill, but it was some kind of medication that was causing children to not identify as male nor female. They couldn't work out what they were, and it was basically targeting their endocrine system or their hormonal system. And there's a whole, I think there was actually a documentary, it's, you know, on the lost children or whatever it's called, you know, the children that were their parents swallowed some pill that the government said was safe, and it caused their children to lose. They weren't sure if they were male nor female, and it was a major thing. It was a thing that this isn't conspiracy theory. This is actually he read from the news stories of the day. He used to get a lot of stuff from one particular site that I can't remember off the top of my head. It was one of those
Zero Hedge.
No. You keep going, but you're getting close. It was a
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Calm Card Ken. I'm not abroad, but I am abroad. You're listening to Fakeologist Audio at Fakeologist.com.
That was a good one, Calm Card.
Yeah, Cold Card Ken. Not abroad, but he is abroad. Very clever.
He won't disclose where he is.
Yeah, no. That's where you don't want to be when you're too paranoid to say where you live. And this me from the... there was Alan Watt read from this... it was some kind of medication that was being pushed on parents in the 60s, and it caused basically dysmorphia of whether you were male or female in the children that were being born. And it was a documentary about it. Look, I can't remember. I'm going to have to scroll through and find out what it was, but it was very. But this was a thing, the medication of the 60s that we were forced on, and some of the antidepressants and antipsychotics that was pushed on old people back in the day, they really caused more problems than they were worth.
Oh, they're talking about lobotomies too from the 40s. Yeah.
And that was the thing. And what about the guy that used to drive around? I found the link. He said he was driving around as a mobile lobotomy center, and he drove through America. He did thousands of lobotomies as a drive-through lobotomy. He actually had a vehicle painted up with a sign on it, and he was doing drive around lobotomies back in America back in the 20s or 30s.
I think it was a thing. They said it peaked in 1949 after the war.
Yeah, incredible. You know, literally sticking a cold piece of steel under your eyelid, and you know,
that's crazy.
Lacerating your frontal lobotomy, and basically afterwards you'd walk around dribbling with no personality afterwards. And this was a thing. Look, this isn't conspiracy theory. They literally did these things for sure. I mean,
barbaric.
That's how stupid
barbaric
humanity is.
And we're still we will
look at the last 3 years where they were literally mandating that you had to have
poison,
three shots of poison, and then more afterwards, and then the flu shot. And we will be shaking our heads in the future going, how did that happen? But it happened. We were there. We witnessed these things. We are a living witnesses to what
and it
we
will
went through
keep
the last
happening
3 years. Yeah. Ab, I hate to agree with you, but you're right. Anyway, Ab, I think I better go now.
Yeah,
I
you gave go us extra time today. We got an extra 20 out of you today. That's good.
Anyway, Ab, look, again, I appreciate the platform, Fakeologist Radio, Fakeologist.com.
Oh, thank you, Rick. We appreciate you coming out.
The best. You know, but not that.
And we're consistent.
Not only that.
We're consistent. You're consistent, which is great. Look, consistency is important.
I have to say I am definitely consistent. Definitely consistent. And why wouldn't I be?
You're giving me a lot of good stuff to listen to. I appreciate it. You know, you're opening my eyes.
Yeah.
You're getting tips. You're a big fan of
podcasts.
Yeah,
well, that's all we can do.
That's
all we can do is share information and hopefully concur. And if we don't concur, we can argue and debate something that
we
may not
stuff
agree with.
Stuff.
And again, I listened to last night at least three episodes of Ed's show, including that incredible interview that he's got with that guy he's a podcaster that got accused of, he actually killed the guy. One of his latest shows. He's some podcaster in America that's now got a really big show, and he's interviewing, I'm telling you, this guy is interviewing big, big stars. And he explained what happened to him. He'd split up from his wife. Him and his wife were both had other partners. Then they decided they may get together again. And his wife's partner decided that he didn't want her to leave him and decided to go around and kill him. And this guy shot him in an argument in his garage and got charged. He was in purgatory. Well, he wasn't in jail, but he got house arrest for 5 years. You gotta listen to the show because it is unbelievable.
Yeah, you're right. The guy's putting on 8 shows every day or two from recycling. Yeah. That's why it's hard to keep up. I see what he's doing.
It's due to the fact he's got 4 or 5 different outlets out there that are he needs to keep providing, because he's done so many shows, he needs to keep reiterating it to other people. You should listen to what I did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I just recommend people listen to some of the stuff because you're going to get some really, really fucking out there information from that
show. And it's entertaining, not every,
that's
for sure.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're in entertainment. And I have to reiterate that one of the shows and the guys that he plugs, he's a lawyer in America that does a show called, I won't be able to remember it, but it's basically gossip. It's a gossip show that you can put rumors into. And I'm pretty much guaranteeing you that some of the stories that this guy's kind of after midnight in Las Vegas or after midnight in Los Angeles, whatever the show is called, there's rumors about all these big stars. I'm pretty much saying that he's right. The things that he's saying, I agree with, and I've heard this from other people in my days working in the film industry, particularly the Eagles. I think it's Don Henley or one of the Eagles guys. There's some bad info about him, that what he got up to 30 years ago in a case that still should be before the courts, but it's not. Offerman is the only show you're going to hear this stuff on. It's really, really good information. So,
there's so many to choose from. So if you can't remember the name, just let me know which one.
I'll go through, but do yourself a favor and keep listening because you're going to get some great information guaranteed. Anyway, Ab, again, thank you for the Fakeologist.
Thank you, Rick.
And thank you for Fakeologist Radio, Fakeologist.com, Fakeologist Audio, Fakeologist.com, Fakeologist Audio Chats, Fakeologist.com. Always the best. Be told.
You sound like 100%. That senator from Nebraska who went berserk with the transgender chant. Did you hear that craziness? Oh, yes. My goodness. Go. You saw that? Wasn't that insane?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Why I love flicking around with these different sites. Oh, my God. Anyway,
mental illness on display. Yeah. All right, Rick.
It is, Ab. It is mental illness on display. Anyway, fantastic. Thank you for your time and be told.
Thank you, Rick.
Be told.
All right, good night.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
That's all, folks.